Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Always a good time when the Chiefs and the Royals have things going on at the same time. Obviously, they're not both playing at the moment, but Royals are in the midst of the regular season. Bit of a tough stretch that they're in right now. Losers of four of their last six. But the Chiefs finished up the first week of OTAs, or voluntary workouts, and got a couple more weeks of that upcoming. It's going to be a fun time of year as we get further and further into the Major League Baseball season. We're rapidly approaching the month of June and into July, which we'll see training camp, and then August, and it's football season again. And hopefully we have an instance of what we had last year where the Royals are playing postseason baseball at the same time that the Chiefs are going through their regular season. I recall that Monday night game against the New Orleans Saints at Arrowhead, and a buddy of mine and I went to the game, and we were down in like the lower bowl, and they had the suites right behind us. Like, we were probably two or three rows from where the suites were, and they had the TVs on in there, and they had the Royals game going. So you would watch the Chiefs game, play would finish, right? Whistle would blow, and everybody collectively in our section would 180 and then watch the TVs in the suite behind us to see what was going on in the Royals Yankees game. And that was game two. That was the game that the Royals won against New York in the ALDS. And after the game was over with, a Let's Go Royals chant broke out in Arrowhead. It was super cool. But that's the time of year that we're hopefully rapidly approaching here as we close out May and enter the month of June. This is After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you alongside my producer for tonight's show, Jason. Hi, Jason's first time behind the controls. Happy to have you, Jason.
Hey, thanks, Logan. I'm happy to be here. It's going to be a fun night, and we can talk a little bit of Royals and Chiefs.
A lot to get to, and a lot of it is what's going on the field. Unfortunately, we will lead today's show with a lot of what's going on off the field, inside the corporate offices, inside the rooms where the deals are made, as last night a huge breaking story in the metro area broke. The Kansas City Royals released a statement last night in which they confirmed that a business affiliated with the team, not exactly sure what that means, they said a, quote, affiliate had purchased the Asperia campus, which is the old Sprint campus near 119th and Nolan Overland Park. According to the statement, quote, the Kansas City Royals continue to explore all options throughout our community to develop a new stadium for the team. Part of a team statement said that Fox 4 obtained late Wednesday afternoon that, quote, we have not yet decided on a site, and any assertion to the contrary is inaccurate. So they haven't confirmed that they confirmed that an affiliate bought it, but now they're saying that they haven't decided on a site. There's a whole lot of behind the scenes things that have to take place. So like they bought the mortgage of the campus, but they don't technically own the campus. Asperia still owns it. And now they have to, regardless of what happens here, the Royals are either going to make a lot of money or they could possibly have a new stadium site here. Because Asperia, now that the Royals or this affiliate of the Royals has bought the campus, bought the mortgage, they now have to find the money to pay that off. There is a company, I think it's a technology company, I cannot remember the name of it off the top of my head. It's somewhere in the Fiserv. Fiserv announced in April that they were going to be moving in to the Asperia campus. That's where they were going to be headquartered, or at least a portion of their company would be headquartered. There's still the possibility that that happens, but as of now, all of it is reliant on what ends up happening with the Royal Stadium. Is this the new site of where the Kansas City Royals will be playing for the future? Or are they just going to make a boatload of money when somebody tries to pay off the mortgage that they bought so that they can use the property? This is kind of a win-win for the Kansas City Royals. So what it means now is Missouri is maybe even more so on the clock than they were previously, right? We all know, if you've been following the news, you've been following this situation, or if you've been listening to Fesco and Dusty in the Morning, Bob Fesco does such a great job covering this stuff. He is the stadium guru here in the Metro when it comes to this. They have now called a special session in the state of Missouri, courtesy of Governor Mike Kehoe, in which one of the main priorities, if not the main priority, and the main reason why he called this special session, is the stadium package that he has put forward. It's trying to keep both teams confirmed inside the Show Me State, not necessarily keeping them in Jackson County, but in Missouri, doing their best as a state to make sure that the Royals and Chiefs don't jump state lines and go over to Kansas. Will it happen? I don't know. This special session will begin next week. The expectation is that we might hear some news around Wednesday if they are even going to take a vote on this. I mean, that's what happened last time, right? It was put forward during session and they just kind of ignored it. They didn't even bring it to a vote. They didn't even bring it to a floor debate, let alone a vote. So will it get to that point now is what we all kind of wait around during the mid part of next week to find out. Fox 4 came out with this article talking about it and which they had some quotes from Frank White, who is the executive of Jackson County, said that it was still his goal to keep both the Royals and the Chiefs in the county. He said that he would not speak for what the state is doing when it comes to something like a special session. He said, quote, "For the county, you know what we've done for these teams over all these years. Our plan is to still get a deal that makes sense for both Jackson County and both teams. We hope to keep both teams in Jackson County." One of the more interesting parts of this article is near the Hesperia campus, or I should say what surrounds the Hesperia campus, is the Jewish Community Center of Greater Kansas City. And one of the spokespeople for the center is Scott Slobotsky, who said, quote, "We're not for sale. We're not moving. Hey, Royals, you want to build your stadium here? You're going to have to build it around us. I don't know what to tell you. We're not about to become the third baseline. We're not about to become a parking lot. We're not going anywhere." He said, quote, "We hope the Royals don't go there, but we'll do our best to be a good neighbor if they do." He said the transaction, he's a real estate investment officer, I guess, or runs one. He said that the investment by the Royals to buy the Hesperia campus or the mortgage on it was a brilliant move. He said they either get a nice payday or they have the ability to put pressure on other suitors for a Major League Baseball stadium. Kansas City is lucky to have such a great ownership group. We're just hoping that they locate downtown. He's like, yeah, this is a great move. I'm happy for them, right? They did some great things. But please, for the love of God, just don't put it here. Please. I want to have my community center be unencumbered by tens of thousands of Royals fans, some of which are heavily inebriated, from gallivanting down the street in order to get to, I don't know, the new Kauffman State. That's the other, like, what are they going to call it? Is it just going to be Royal Stadium? Like, where are we going? Frank White Memorial Stadium? No?
I was wondering that. Are they going to go with what about David Glass, right? Previous owner? I mean, maybe that direction? Is that direction you consider going?
Could be. I would imagine that they would probably be more suited to just continue to call it Kauffman Stadium because the Kauffman family, right, they were the ones that brought the organization to Kansas City in the first place after the A's left. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one to look at here. So, again, this isn't anything definitive. This doesn't mean the Royals are going to be in Overland Park. That's not at all what this means. They bought the mortgage on the campus, which means if nothing comes of it, right, if they still can't get a deal put together, then yeah, they could put it there. This adds leverage for them, and what it more likely means is that somebody's going to have to pay the mortgage to the Royals in order to get the property now. So the Royals are going to be able to pocket some money in this deal, leverage both the Missouri and Kansas side, right? They're going to be able to go to the folks here in Jackson County and say, see here, right? We've got a place. We could put it right here unless we can put it downtown. We want to put it downtown. We want to put it in the West Rose. We want to put it in North Kansas City, or, hey, we want to put it in over by the Legends. We want to put it in Kansas City, Kansas now, and blah, 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 blah. And so this is nothing more than smart investment and a leverage play, in my opinion. Or who knows? You know, maybe they'll keep it and that becomes the new, maybe Northwest Arkansas becomes the Overland Park. I don't know. Maybe they're the Overland Park Naturals now instead of the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. I think that's unlikely. 913-586-7965 is our number. Lance asks, Logan, do you want to join my Yahoo Fantasy Football League? Let me consider that for just a minute. I'm already in four. Five feels like a lot. I'll be honest with you, but I appreciate you asking. Another 816 says, J.E. Dunn owns a bunch of property and they are part owner of the Royals. It's kind of a non-story. I would frankly agree, right? I feel like it's more of a leverage play and an investment thing to maybe put some more money into the Royals' pocket. We'll see. I understand affiliate to mean a business owned by a member of the ownership group. As far as I know, yes. A 913 says the Royals go to Kansas and I'm out. Why? I shouldn't ask why. I get it. And 10 years ago, I was in the same boat that you were in, right? As a 17, 18 year old kid who grew up on the Missouri side, 35 minutes from the stadium, the sports complex, I had a great deal of pride in the Royals and the Chiefs being in Missouri, right? It was one of my favorite things when you would see a play-by-play or a color commentator or some high-profile person, a celebrity or a politician or whatever, that would say, you know, something about the Royals or the Chiefs and then say that they were in Kansas. And that was always a fun thing for all of us to be able to correct them and be like, no, you moron, they're in Missouri. If they moved to Kansas, that joke no longer hits anymore. Now they're right. So again, 10 years ago, I would have been furious at this possibility. But I'm older, hopefully wiser. My wife would probably disagree. But I've also seen how sports have changed in the last decade. I saw the Raiders leave Oakland and go to Las Vegas, right? I have seen the A's leave Oakland, play at a minor league stadium in Sacramento before they move to Las Vegas. It's not unprecedented for teams to move. We had this long period from about 2000 to about 2016, 2017, there was not a lot of movement. Most teams stayed where they were. Prior to that, you saw a lot of movement, and it kind of went stagnant there for a little while. And now you're starting to see more and more of that, and it makes me a little bit fearful of the fact that the city of Nashville is putting forward a pretty penny. By a pretty penny, I mean about 1.5 billion of them to try to bring a Major League Baseball team to Nashville, Tennessee, to Music City. If the Royals and the citizens and the politicians in Missouri and Kansas play this incorrectly, the Kansas City Royals could become the Tennessee or Nashville Royals, which is my worst nightmare. Absolutely my worst nightmare. So, as long as they stay in the metro, I don't give a damn where they're at. I really don't. Stay in Raytown. Fine. Go downtown for all I care. Put it in Plaque City. Who cares? Just stay in the metro. That's all I ask.
I think most people would agree with you. I mean, we don't have to look too far, right? Just across the state, you know, St. Louis lost an NFL team, you know, so it's happened in our state in the last decade and a half. So yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 913, Royals stay in Missouri. I'm out because you idiots can't get it right. What did I do? You idiots. You lumping Jason and I in that? I mean, Jason, have you had any, you know, do you have any power in keeping the Royals and the Chiefs in Missouri?
I don't think so. Not as far as I know. It seems kind of personal.
Very minute amount of power there. Honestly, the only power that I have is the microphone in front of me and the one vote I get at the polls in Jackson County, which I haven't been able to do yet. I just filed like my change of address and I got my new voter registration with my new polling place in Jackson County. Prior to that, I voted in Ray County. I can assure you the Royals and Chiefs are not moving to Ray County, Missouri, courtesy of Richmond and Lawson, Missouri, which accounts for about 70% of the entire population of the county. Okay, there's like 15,000 people that live in the county. Relax. We don't have a lot to do with it. Move to Kansas or Tennessee. What's the difference? The difference is that instead of being 30 minutes from your house, they're only 45 minutes from your house and not 6 hours from your house. That's a massive difference. Just saying. The Royals can come to Leavenworth, Kansas. Leavenworth is the first city of Kansas. How far would that be? Just curious. From where they're current. It's about 40 minutes from where they're, about 45 or 50 minutes from where they're currently at. That's about 40 minutes northwest of downtown, northwest of the city. So that could be a long way. Trying to go down these texts a little bit further. How about we take a break here? I'll come back and read some more of your messages here. With that, you're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here alongside Jason High, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Man.
What a great voice.
Boy, that ad got me fired up. That's a great ad. Promos can be very hit or miss in this business. That one, you know, that had me ready to run through a wall. Just knowing that I work at a place like this, covering Kansas City sports, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs on the radio, the home of the Kansas City Royals on the radio. Like, knowing that I'm sharing airwaves with Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens and Cody and Gold, and I'm sharing a microphone with C-Dot and also Mitch Holtis and Denny Matthews. That's mind-boggling to me. Like, as a kid who grew up here, as a kid who grew up listening to Denny Matthews call Royals games and listened to Mitch Holtis call Chiefs games and listened to this and have listened to this station for years and years, that's just, it's the coolest thing in the world. I don't know. I just had like I had a brief moment there where I was like, yeah, what I do is pretty badass. It's pretty cool. I knew that this was going to get people fired up as well. Not the ad, the conversation we're having. I led the show this evening with the news that a Royals affiliate, which based on the wording and the verbiage of it and in talking with people here in the text line and with people in the last, you know, 24 hours, it sounds like someone or someone's within the Royals ownership group, whether it was by themselves or through their business venture, had acquired the Asperia campus over in Overland Park. So what does that mean for the Royals in the stadium? We got the special session going on in Missouri. And so the ball is rolling and a decision is hopefully going to be made very, very shortly, because the, you know, 2030, 2031, that's the timeline for the Royals and the Chiefs leases expiring at the sports complex. The Royals, they need a new location. Somebody in the text line said something, and I completely agree, is they had said that they work for a plumbing company, and they do a lot of work, plumbing work, you know, piping and whatever else, for the Royals at Kauffman Stadium. He said the pipes in the place leak everywhere. The concrete structure and the foundation is crumbling. They're getting a new stadium no matter where they have to go. As long as they stay in the metro, who cares? Yes, thank you. I mean, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. It's a hell of a drug. It really is. I understand the visceral reaction from people, right? I get this. When I hear it, I kind of get that way at first too, right? Like I've read into this a lot. I have to it's my job. I still, when I hear somebody say something about the Royals leaving Kauffman or the Chiefs leaving Arrowhead, I get a little bit upset because that's my childhood. That's the childhood of every Royals fan ever. It's the only place they've ever played. Since 1969, when the Royals came to Kansas City, they were at Kauffman Stadium, out at the sports complex in Raytown. They've never been anywhere else. They've won two World Series at that place. You've seen Hall of Famers. You've seen MVPs. You've seen Cy Young winners, relievers of the year. You've seen it with your own eyes at Kauffman Stadium. And there's so much nostalgia, so many memories, so much pride in that, people have a hard time giving it up. But here's the thing. If you're looking at it from an honest, unbiased perspective, take your fandom out of it for just a moment. I've been to a couple of Royals games this year already. I'm going to another one tomorrow night. You can see it all over the stadium. There need to be changes done, and those changes are probably too great for a renovation. The change that needs to be made is a new stadium. And it's unfortunate. It kind of, you know, that sucks for those of us who grew up going to Kauffman and grew up watching Royals games. But adapt or die. And Kauffman Stadium is not what it once was. The other thing, I don't think people quite realize this, because when you think about a structure like that, something as big and bold as Kauffman Stadium is, as a professional sports venue is, you're thinking, oh, 1969 to 2025, like it's 56 years. That's not that old. It's the fifth oldest ballpark in baseball. The only stadiums that are older than Kauffman, Fenway Park, 1912. Okay, it's Fenway. Wrigley Field, Chicago Cubs, 1914. Okay, it's Wrigley, right? Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, 1962. It's Dodger Stadium. And then you've got Angel Stadium in Anaheim for the Los Angeles Angels, which was built in 1966. I guess Kauffman was around 1973, so that's fair. It's the fifth oldest stadium in baseball. Would you like to know what the sixth oldest stadium in baseball is? The Rogers Center in Toronto, which was built in 1989. The fifth oldest stadium in baseball to the sixth oldest stadium in baseball, 16 years of difference. That's how old Kauffman is. And Kauffman doesn't have the same sort of, it doesn't have the same sort of historical reverence that a Fenway or a Wrigley or a Dodger Stadium can have, right? Good Lord. Yeah, somebody in the text line just said it. They tore down old Yankee Stadium. They tore down Ebbets Field. They tore down the first Busch Stadium. Eventually, you have to go, man. You have to move. Yeah, I corrected myself. That was on me. A couple of people in the text line said, well, they played at Municipal Stadium, and then they went to Kauffman in 73. You're right. I got that one wrong. I'm sorry. They've only been there for 52 years, not 56 years. So regardless, they have somewhere they need to go. The Chiefs, they've always said that they would prefer to stay at Arrowhead, but I think that, and I'm one of those people that, and a lot of people might disagree with me on this, I was not against the stadium vote. I was not against the stadium tax. I was against the way that the Royals and Chiefs handled that situation. It got voted down, not because of the tax, in my opinion. It got voted down because it was a massive, cataclysmic textbook example of mismanagement by the Chiefs and the Royals organizations and their front offices and their ownership groups for the Royals to be a part of this and say, okay, we're going to go downtown. Well, you know, maybe we'll go to the Northland. Well, you know, we looked, the West Bottoms is kind of interesting, you know. Hey, pick one. Let's pick one, folks. And then they're like, okay, you know, here's what a stadium would look like. Here's a nice little AI rendering for you. And then 8 days later, you're like, well, actually, we changed our minds. Here's a different AI rendering for you. And then 10 days later, here's a third AI rendering for you. Pretty soon, there's half a dozen different renderings of what the stadium could potentially look like. They've changed locations three or four or five different times. The Chiefs go and win a Super Bowl, and all of a sudden they're like, you know what? Let's throw our name in the ring. Let's be a part of this stadium deal, right? We want renovations to Arrowhead Stadium. Oh, by the way, a big chunk of these renovations are just going to be suites for the top 1% of fans. And you really expected voters in Jackson County to just gobble that up? I was not against the stadium tax. I was against the way that it was handled by those in charge of putting these plans together and putting it on a ballot and adding the Chiefs in way too late. You add them in mid-February before it's got to get voted on. You gave the voters 6 weeks to digest and research and understand what's, it was poorly handled. It was. I'm sorry to say, it was poorly handled. 913-586-7965 is our number. Wrong. When they first started playing, they were downtown on 23rd in Brooklyn. Good Lord. I thought they played it. I don't know. For some reason, I guess I'm a little bit down on my Royals history. They tore down the Polo Grounds where the Royals used to be in Brooklyn, or the Dodgers used to be in Brooklyn. Yeah, I mean, they've torn down some of the most historic venues ever. Right? I mean, the Celtics tore down the Boston Garden and built the new TD Garden, right? Just because it has a lot of history and it doesn't mean it can last forever. You've got thousands, tens of thousands, in some places, hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be in these places every single day, putting wear and tear on a building like that that's been here for over 50 years. Sometimes it's just time to move on, man. It's just time to move on. I heard that 55% of season ticket holders are living in Leawood. Wouldn't surprise me. One thing that's not discussed enough is the loss of revenue the city of alone will lose without having the 1% earnings tax coming in. It'd be a ton. It'd be a ton of change that they would lose. It really would. From the athletes, performers that perform in the city, 1,000%. And what happens after, right? If the Royals and Chiefs do leave, say they both go to Kansas, or the Chiefs go to Kansas and the Royals go downtown, what happens to the complex? What happens to Kauffman? What happens to Arrowhead? I think regardless, Kauffman's getting torn down. It is. It needs it at this point. It's going to cost more than it's going to be worth at that point to try to rebuild or renovate or do something else with it. It makes no sense to keep it around. That's why I always thought, like, the ideal scenario, as much as the parking would suck and the traffic would suck, having the Royals downtown, tearing down Kauffman, and building out more parking or whatever, building a fan experience thing where Kauffman used to be. For the Chiefs to stay at Arrowhead would be the ideal situation, in my opinion. I don't know a year later how viable that is anymore.
Well, the Chiefs may feel the same way, right? They would have the entire complex to themselves, kind of, which is a new wave kind of thing that the stadiums are doing around the country with NFL teams, right? They want to have the land surrounding their stadium.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no question about it. That's always been the biggest problem. That's been the biggest problem forever with the complex, is there's nothing else there. Nothing. The traffic's bad anyway, but there's nothing there. There's like a Taco Bell, two gas stations, which the last time I had gone to the complex, one of those gas stations didn't exist, so that's fairly new. Hey, good, you know, hey, we're adding to the infrastructure a little bit over there, I guess. And a Denny's that burnt down a few years ago. Like, that was it. Like, our whole childhood, right? The entire time we were all growing up and we would go to a game at Kauffman or we'd go to Arrowhead, you would drive by two or three businesses to get to the comp. There was nothing there. There's no atmosphere around it at all. So, but with if the Chiefs and the Royals both leave, then that becomes a massive area for God knows what.
Probably ideally it would be housing, right? But I mean, I think shopping malls probably the most likely answer.
Could be, right? It absolutely could be housing. You know, somebody in the text line said you could put an NBA arena there. Oh, that'd be great. I am that guy. If you want to talk about the NBA in Kansas City, I'm the one to bring it to, because I am a basketball fan. I am an NBA fan. I know that's not a popular subject, but I would love for that to come back to Kansas City at some point. How likely it is? Pretty unlikely, but we'll see. 913-586-7965 is our number. Much more to talk about here on tonight's program, including some actual on-the-field news about the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that between the Royals getting set for a series against Detroit starting tomorrow and the Chiefs finishing up week one of OTAs. Logan Weber here alongside Jason High. You're listening to After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sure we'll talk more stadium as we go along here throughout the program. The big news yesterday, a Royals affiliate has bought the Asperia campus out in Overland Park, and State of Missouri is having a special session called by Governor Mike Kehoe to discuss his stadium plans proposal, and we're starting to really get the ball rolling again, because a decision's going to have to be made pretty quickly. Right, the lease expires in the next 5 years, and it's going to take a few years to build a stadium out and find a location for it and find the money and the permitting and all the things. So this is a decision that's probably going to be made before the end of the summer, would be my guess. I would say, I mean, if I was to really try to ballpark it, I would say within the next 6 to 8 weeks, we could have a very definitive decision on what the Kansas City Royals at least do here in the very near future. I think the Chiefs could be a little bit beyond that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they made a decision around that same time. Our text line number, 913-586-7965. The Kansas City Royals on the field are off today after losing 2 out of 3 to the Cincinnati Reds. They'll be back in action tomorrow for a 3-game weekend set at home against the Detroit Tigers. Big inter-division series here. Two teams kind of trending in opposite directions. The Royals have lost 4 of their last 6 games. Meanwhile, the Detroit Tigers have won 4 straight. The Royals are 7 games back at Detroit right now in the AL Central, 7 games back overall in the division. Detroit's 37-20, Royals 30-27, and tomorrow it'll be Seth Lugo on the bump for Kansas City, as he will be matched up against Casey Mize. And he's had a really good year, has Mize. He is 6-1 with a 2.45 ERA. Lugo's 3-4 with a 3.02 ERA. Saturday, folks in Kansas City will get a chance to see AL Cy Young winner from a year ago, Tarik Skubal, as he will match up against Michael Wacha. Wacha, who is trying to bounce back from a pretty poor performance his last time out. And then Sunday, it'll be Keiter Montero for Detroit, who has got an ERA up near 5 against Chris Bubich. So that's the pitching matchups, at least right now, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I do have some interesting conversations about this Royals team. The bats, obviously, are not even middling right now. They are struggling. I was going through the schedule last night, and I'm looking at a game-by-game breakdown, box scores and whatnot, and I realized that in the Royals' last 14 games, they've scored more than 4 runs once. And that was that 8-run game they put on the Boston Red Sox. That's it. They have scored 4 or fewer runs in 13 of their last 14 games. The bats aren't getting it done. And the craziest part is that they're still hitting .266 in the month of May. But in the last 15 days, they've really struggled, especially with runners in scoring position. I think I saw since May the 14th or May the 12th, they are hitting under .200 with runners in scoring position. So you get guys on base, whether they be via walks or singles, whatever, what have you. These guys get to second, get to third with one out in the inning, no outs, and you don't do anything with it. You just let the game falter at that point. And it you can look at it, it's a variety of guys. It's not just one person or two people or three people in the rotation or in the batting order that are struggling. The whole roster is struggling to hit the ball in the month of May outside of really Vinny Pasquantino. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting just over .200 in his last 15 days. Just over .200. And he struck out more this month than he did in the entirety of the month of April. And the month's not even over yet. So Bobby's struggling a little bit. Mikel Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino are hitting the ball pretty well. Jonathan India's been better here in the month of May. But you're just not driving in runs. And you're just relying so heavily on your starting pitching that you're putting so much pressure on those guys, so much pressure on your starting pitching and your bullpen for that matter. And it would be one thing if this was like a beginning of this year problem, but they had this problem last year and they had this problem the year before that. And so I just wanted to go back and look historically at some of the best hitting seasons in Royals history and some of the worst. So, like we were saying earlier, 1969 was the Royals' first season of Major League Baseball. 56, 56 and a third seasons of Major League Baseball. Over that time, the Royals have had a team batting average of under .250 10 times ever. In almost 57 years of baseball, 10 times have they hit under .250 as a team in a single season. Their first 2 years as an organization, 1969 and 1970, after the expansion, and then the last 8 years, they haven't hit above .250 as a team since 2017.
Wow.
So I don't know what it is. The roster is almost completely different from what it's looked like at the beginning of those 8 years, but this team has not hit above the league average as a team in 8 consecutive years. So we all know where we have to go from here. You got to change something. And I don't know what the answer is, but we've got a couple of possibilities that are being brought up. One of those is obviously a big name in the Royals system right now playing in AAA. He's a big guy. He has a lot of home runs. I think we all know who I'm talking about. But there's also the possibility of a trade. Who are some guys you could go after? But more importantly, according to Mike Gillespie of Kings of Kauffman, who are some of the guys the Royals could consider trading away. We'll talk about that next right here on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside Jason High producing tonight's program, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I didn't expect the entire first hour to just be Royals baseball. The news that an affiliate of the Royals ownership group has bought the Asperia campus in Overland Park. We talked a lot about that and the stadium and where we go from here. Some people for it, against it, right? As is to be expected with a move of this magnitude or a situation of this magnitude. We talked about the Royals' recent struggles, the pitching projections for this upcoming series Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Detroit Tigers, and we've got a lot more coming up. I want to talk about the Royals' starting pitching, in particular the number 5 starting spot. I want to talk about a hypothetical situation with the Royals in the postseason, and what's the latest with Jack Caglione? I've always been the guy that's like, yeah, wait. I wanted him to be the opening day starter in right field next season. I didn't want to see him this year, but I may have to change my tune, or I may have already. Before we get to any of that, we'll probably wait till hour number 2 for that. Let's go to the phones. We've got Double J in Kansas City on the line with us. Go ahead, Double J.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just want to say I'm excited to see what we're going to do this weekend against Detroit. I like all the pitching matchups that we got going. Lugo tomorrow night, Walker, and Bubich Sunday. And I tell you what, I think we could maybe 2 out of 3, if not 3-10. 2 out of 3 would be icing on the cake. It's going to be fun to watch, though, and I feel like this offense is going to break out this weekend. India started to hit the ball. Bobby's coming back to life again, and I think Salvi's going to have a big series this weekend, too. I hope we go out and make.
Well, Double J, I appreciate it. I agree with you. I'm going to go ahead and say that I don't, 2 out of 3 would be great. A sweep feels really strong, especially with the matchup Saturday. Waka against Tariq Skubal, who has been just as good as he was last year when he was the AL Cy Young winner. Waka's coming off the worst start of his entire season thus far after he really got hit around pretty good last week. So I would love 2 out of 3. I love the matchup on Sunday, especially Montero, who's struggled. He's got an ERA up near 5 against Bubich, who's looked like a Cy Young candidate in his own right to begin this year. Getting Lugo tomorrow against Casey Mize, that might be the best pitching matchup individually of the entire weekend. This Tigers team has been phenomenal this year. They've probably been the best team in the American League to kick off this year. Let's go back to the phones. We've got another caller on the line. Go ahead. You're here on After Hours. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, who's that? Me?
Yes, sir. That's you. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Johnson County, Kansas, so they want to take our teams, right? And then still be represented by Kansas City, right? So the team names is Kansas City. So it'll be Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals, and if they're on the Johnson County and the Kansas side of things. So you got to figure all the people in Independence and Raytown and Blue Springs and Lee Summit that have paid taxes into the stadiums and everything like this. You want to just jump the line. Imagine if the St. Louis Cardinals, if Illinois on the other side said, hey, St. Louis Cardinals, you know, come over here. We're going to build you a stadium. Would they still be the St. Louis Cardinals? Probably not, because St. Louis is in Missouri. Excuse me. Say that Johnson County, Kansas, like exists Olathe, Lenexa, Overland Park is because of Kansas City, Missouri, and you're gonna just take the teams from Missouri and just place them over to Kansas, and then you're gonna keep the name.
Yeah, no, you bring up an interesting point. Go ahead, real quick. What's your name?
My name is Brian.
All right, Brian. Well, I appreciate you calling. Yeah, I don't. this goes a couple of different ways. And I will say that I do disagree with you to a certain extent to say that if they were to go over to Kansas, you know, how can you continue to call them the Kansas City Chiefs or the Kansas City Royals? Lest we forget that the Royals and Chiefs, as it currently stands, play in Raytown, right? They're the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals, but they don't play in Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas City, Kansas proper. So if they were to go to Leawood or Lenexa or Overland Park or wherever else, they're still a part of the Kansas City Metro, right? The Giants and Jets play in New Jersey. The Angels play in Anaheim, but yet they're still the New York Jets and the New York Giants. You know, the New England Patriots play in Foxborough, but they're commonly thought of as Boston. It's the way of the world to some extent. So to say that they can no longer be, you know, or to suggest that, you know, how can they continue to say that they're Kansas City? Because they technically still are. It's still the Metro. It's tough, man. I get where you're coming from. As a Missourian, I understand. I feel a little bit of that. But I have to say that if that's the compromise, is for us as Missourians to just be like, okay, fine, they're going to Kansas. We just have to accept that. It was interesting that you brought up St. Louis. Like, if the Cardinals were to be like, hey, we're going to go over to East St. Louis, but we're still going to be the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, yeah, technically, because that's still East St. Louis is still St. Louis. They never would, obviously. And if they were hypothetically to bring that to the folks of St. Louis, you think St. Louis would say no? You think St. Louis, Missouri, and the fans of the Cardinals would be like, absolutely not? They're not going to do that, because guess what? They tried to strong arm the Rams and the St. Louis football Cardinals. And how well did that work out for them? I don't want to use St. Louis as the primary example in that situation, but I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. 913-586-7965 is our number. Hour number two of After Hours is on the way next. Logan Weber alongside Jason High, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.